Let's read from the book of Jeremiah and chapter 29, and we'll read the first 14 verses. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 1. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile." Amen. May the Lord bless his word to your hearts. The year is 597 BC, and it has been an awful year for the 3,023 Jews. That's the figure given in chapter 52 of Jeremiah. 3,023, a remnant that have been carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. They've made a journey of around 800 miles, which would have been very difficult in those days. Men, women, and children, it would have been a slow journey. And they're hoping that 596, the following year, will be a better year. And so people's thinking hasn't changed in over 2,500 years. There's people who are glad to see the back of 2009 and hoping that this new year will be better, will be different. But you know, in this passage of Scripture, we see that it's not just one year that the people had to think about. It was the next 70 years. Because as they're going into exile, or once they've just arrived, Jeremiah the prophet, the true prophet of God, sends a letter to the people. And in verse 10 it says, this is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Now 70 years, and we'll start with our outline immediately, we see a long time. In this chapter 29, we see a long time. We see life's changes. We see the Lord's promises. We see listening to truth. Because there are some of these people, and they have made the journey from freedom to captivity. They're going to die. They're not going to see through the 70 years. But children's going to be born in captivity, and they're going to move then from captivity to freedom. Whereas their parents and other members of the family went from freedom to captivity. And verse 11 says, and this is what I want to focus on this morning, and indeed for maybe the services in the month of January, morning and evening. Tom's speaking tonight, and we'll do this next week again, and I'm off the following Sunday, and then the remaining services. Verse 11 says, and we can use this for a motto text, if you like, for the new year, where God says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. It was specifically for the exiles in Babylon, but it has been taken as a great encouragement to millions of people in every generation since. The words of God, the God who never changes. First of all, we consider a long time that's mentioned here. 70 years, not just 1 year, not just the year 596, but 70 years from 597. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. Now, 70 years would see a lot of change in people. But you know, we learn something here about God. 70 years is nothing to God. Peter tells us that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. So what's 70 years? It wasn't the first time where the people heard about this 70-year block of time. In a few chapters before, in chapter 25 and verse 11, Jeremiah had said, this whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon 70 years. But the whole trouble was the people weren't listening. Jeremiah is a large book, 52 chapters. And I suppose of all the prophets, Jeremiah didn't see much fruit for his labors. Jeremiah's ministry was falling on deaf ears. People weren't listening to the truth. Years came and years went, and people weren't listening. And through Jeremiah, God was telling them, look, if you don't listen to me, because Jeremiah is the only book in the Bible that uses the imagery of God waking up early and sending out his prophets to warn the people to turn from their sins, because if they don't, then God is going to use Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to come and to ransack Jerusalem. And Jeremiah is the only book in the Bible that talks about the people, because of their sin, they wouldn't blush. They wouldn't blush. I don't think things have changed much in 2,500 years. There are sins being committed today, and you know, people are just laughing at it all. There's no sense of shame. There's no blushing, no embarrassment. And this is God. This is God's word. And the people would be in captivity for 70 years. Some would die in captivity. Others would be born and then would make the journey from Babylon back to Jerusalem. So we're inclined, over these past few days, to consider the new year, to look back. 2009, the whole year's completed now, the 365 days. We look at 2010, this is only the third day of it. What does it hold? We don't know. But try considering 70 years. What changes in a year? What changes in 70? And yet such a block of time is nothing to God. As Psalm 90 verses 1 and 2 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. They reckon a generation is about 40 years. Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations. You have always been there. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting. And that covers many years, doesn't it? From everlasting, there's no beginning there. To everlasting, that covers the future. That covers many years. There's no end there. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. A long time. And the second thing we can see is life's changes. In verses 5 to 7, look what they're told to do. Build houses. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Can you imagine them starting off in 597? They have had their house, they have had their garden in Jerusalem. Their families have grown up. They have had their marriages in Jerusalem and in other parts of Judah. They have prayed for Jerusalem. That's the city, that's the country where they've been born and brought up in. And all of a sudden, the Babylonians come in, ransack Jerusalem. Their temple, their beloved temple, is destroyed. What they held in sanctity has been treated with absolute sacrilege by the Babylonians. People are killed. And 3,023 of them are carried as captives to Babylon. They've been told that they're going to be there for 70 years. What are they going to do there? They've lost everything. They've had to leave their homes, their gardens. Maybe those things that they took pride in, as people do, maybe sometimes with a garden. A garden can be someone's idol. A garden's not my idol, I'll tell you that. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. They had all that. A lovely, comfortable lifestyle in Judah, in Jerusalem. But what big changes. They're taken away from all that. Their homes might even be destroyed. Anything that got in the way of the Babylonians, we're told by other prophets, it was like a swarm of locusts coming down on the land and absolutely stripping the land of vegetation. There was nothing left. These gardens just didn't produce flowers and plants. They must have produced food. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. And you know, the Babylonians would have had their fill. They would have stolen from these people. They would have destroyed what these people had built up for years, maybe. Just taken away from them. Wasn't fair, sure it wasn't. Not fair. And they're carried off into Babylon and they have nothing but maybe the clothes that they've on. Maybe a few belongings. And what are they going to do when they get there? What are they going to do for the next 70 years? Jeremiah is not being flippant. He's telling them, look, start all over again. Build houses. You built them in Jerusalem, build them in Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. These people had lost everything but hope. Jeremiah was giving them hope. You know, on arrival, they certainly didn't arrive one day and say, right, there's a nice wee bit of ground over there. I'm going to start building another home there. Initially, they didn't do that. Because Psalm 137 gives us an insight as to the feelings of these people, their emotions when they first arrived in Babylon. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And their response was, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. These people were out of Jerusalem, but Jerusalem was not out of them. These people were out of Zion, distant from Zion by 800 miles, but Zion was not out of them. They were miserable when they first arrived in Babylon. They were depressed. They had been taken away from their homes and their gardens. And what were they going to do for the next 70 years? Remain sorrowful? Remain bitter? They were living in a foreign land. The Babylonians were the enemy. What were they going to do? Fight? Jeremiah tells them, no. Settle down. Build houses. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. My dear friends, 2009 might have brought an experience in your life that you didn't want. How do we react to these things? We're hoping 2010 might be better. 2010 might be worse. 2010 could bring more than one bad experience. We don't know. But we're to do what these people did. We're to trust God. And one has said, how should we handle such a depressing situation? Accept it from the hand of God and let Him have His way. One of the first steps in turning tragedy into triumph is to accept the situation courageously and put ourselves into the hands of a loving God who makes no mistakes. You see, friends, why were they carried into captivity? Verse 4 says, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Yes, from a human point of view, the Babylonians did it. But behind the scenes, God did it because of the people's sin. And we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is under the curse. We live in a world, according to Romans chapter 8, that groans for its redemption. It's creaking and groaning under the weight of sin. And yes, we live our lives and we build our houses and we settle down and we have our gardens and our families grow up and they marry and all the rest of it. Everyday things that people do. But we are no different from these people, these exiles, sinners, sinful hearts. And God judges sin. God can take you away from things. God can take things away from you. Until we're broken, and until we come to Him in humble repentance. And these people were to bloom, as someone has put it, they were to bloom where they were planted. They had been uprooted from Jerusalem. They had been transplanted in Babylon. And they were told, right, you're here for 70 years. Settle down. Build another house. Plant another garden. And just get on with it. And after 70 years, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. So in verse 4, they were told to build houses. Literally, build houses. In verse 6, they were told to fill these houses, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. So even in captivity, even when things were difficult, they would increase. They were to literally build. They were to numerically build. And you know, they were to spiritually build. They were told to build houses. They were told to fill these houses. And they did fill them. Initially, 3,023 Jews, that's the number given, in Jeremiah 52, came to Babylon. 70 years later, in the book of Ezra, chapter 2, verse 64, we read that 42,360 made the journey from Babylon back to Jerusalem. That's a big increase. So they were to build houses, they were to fill the houses, they were to pray in the houses. They were to pray in the houses. Verse 7 says, also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it. Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. These people had moved from Judah to Babylon. Strange language. strange culture, strange gods, strange outlook, strange everything. But yet they were to bloom where they were planted. They were to pray for that place. They were to pray for those people. I want to say what God wants us to pray for sometimes surprises us. We need to let God change our will rather than trying to reverse His. What major changes for these people? New circumstances, new land, but not their choosing, but new opportunities. New opportunities. And Christian, no matter where you find yourself, you're not to be bitter. You're still there to witness for your Savior. You mightn't like things at times, the way things have gone. But these people, they built their houses, they settled down. They had families. Over the years, the families grew up and they married and had families. And that's the way things went for 70 years. And every day they held on to the Lord's promises. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you. And they knew at the end of 70 years that God was coming back and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. What else was there to do but to trust and hope in God? As Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. We see a long time. We see life's changes. We see the Lord's promises that we end each year with, that we bring into the new year with us. The Lord's promises. And you know, God is in no hurry. From making the promise to fulfilling the promise, 70 years passed. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise. 70 years. And you know something, we're talking here about an earthly thing, a temporal thing. The Lord was going to come back through His prophets and bring them out of Babylon, and they were going to march back, more of them this time, the 800 miles or so, and settle into Jerusalem under the reign of and the decree of Cyrus in the book of Ezra. That was going to happen, and that did happen. That did happen. And these people lived their lives trusting the promises of God. And those of us who are Christians, you know, we're not going to be taken to some earthly land. We're going to be taken to that heavenly country, as the book of Hebrews describes heaven. The promises of God for us, the Lord Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I will come again. He's coming back. And I'll receive you unto myself. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. Forever with the Lord, not just a temporal thing. What great promises. 2 Peter 1 verse 4, His very great and precious promises. And their dependence upon God in verses 12 to 14. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. My dear friends, there's a greater captivity to be released from. The captivity of sin, the captivity of Satan, where the Lord can set you free. His promises. So when the people built their house and lived in them, each day they counted down. That's the end of 1 year, 69 years to go. The new year started, counted down, 68 years to go, counted down. The promises, the fulfillment of them seemed a long way away. But each day brought them nearer. The fulfillment of the promises. And they had been told, you know, that Babylon would be judged. I quoted chapter 25 and verse 11. That these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. But verse 12 says, but when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation, the land of the Babylonians, for their guilt, declares the Lord, and will make it desolate forever. I will bring upon that land all the things I have spoken against it, all that are written in this book and prophesied by Jeremiah against all the nations. They themselves will be enslaved by many nations and great kings. I will repay them according to their deeds and the work of their hands. For the Israelites in captivity, the future was very bright. But for the captors, the future was very bleak. God's promises work two ways. Oh, for the Christian, what wonderful promises. But for the unsaved, when God has promised punishment, that will be carried out. A long time, 70 years. Life's changes in that time, in even a year. But living in the light of the Lord's promises. We read just the first 14 verses, but the rest of the chapter, listening to truth, because there were false prophets that offered false hopes. In verses 8 and 9, yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. And you'll read of three men in this chapter. You read of two false prophets called Ahab and Zedekiah, who were liars, who were adulterers, according to verse 21. According to verse 21, they were liars, they were adulterers, they are prophesying lies to you, I'm in my name. And verse 23, for they have done outrageous things in Israel, they have committed adultery with their neighbor's wives, and in my name have spoken lies. And then verse 24, a man by the name of Shemaiah, he had sent letters to the exiles as well. Verses 27 and 28, he was saying, why have you not reprimanded Jeremiah from Anathoth, who poses as a prophet among you? He has sent this message to us in Babylon. It will be a long time. Therefore, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. These false prophets were saying, look, forget about Jeremiah. Don't listen to him. He's a fanatic. He's a fundamentalist. Takes things too literally. 70 years. Look, we're just going to be here a short time, and then we're going to go back again to Jerusalem. You don't have to build houses. You'll not have time for that. But we know that it was 70 years. Jeremiah was the true prophet. The prophet who was despised was the one who had God's message. And my dear friends, as we have left one year and entered another, there are those who are prophesying different things. The Lord says, I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. There are those who want a better future. There are those who want a better financial future. And of course, 2009 had the credit crunch and all that type of thing. There are those who want a better financial future. There are those who want a better political future. Those who want things to work out and to be more solid and so on. There are those who want a better physical future where their health is concerned. And you know, you could have all of these things, but we're talking here about a spiritual future. You could have all of these things and not have a spiritual future, and yet you could gain all these things and lose your own soul. You mightn't have any of these things, financial, physical, political, but you have a spiritual future, and that's the most important thing to have. And that's what God wants you to have. To hear and to heed his word. Verses 19 and 20 says, for they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, words that I sent to them again and again by my servants the prophets. And you exiles have not listened either, declares the Lord. Therefore hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles whom I have sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Have you not listened to God's word in 2009 and even in previous years? But what about this first Sunday of this new year? To listen to his word and to know that God has plans for your life. Apply them individually. God has plans for me to give me hope and a future. And you can't have a better future than that, what God can give you. And verse 32 says that this false prophet Shemaiah, he was going to be removed. He will have no one left among this people, nor will he see the good things I will do for my people, declares the Lord, because he has preached rebellion against me. The good things I will do for my people. And you can enter into those good things, and you can know those good things. Let's not lose sight of this text. I'll be quoting it every service this month. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Even though there would be changes. And you know, once the exile came and once the siege came to Jerusalem, it was dark days. You can read about them in the book after Jeremiah that he also wrote, Lamentations. What misery. It was going to be dark before it would be light. God can give you a future and a hope.